So good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for this week's Devon Insight Weekly telephone speaker event. As you will be aware from the message that you would have heard with that lovely music, as you entered the call, that you will be muted on entrance into the call. So you can hear us, but we can't hear you. And that is just so that it makes it much, much easier for the speaker to be heard by everyone. And on that note, we are really lucky today to be joined by Judy Pride from the Macular Society. We know Judy very, very well. And she will be talking to us with particularly around questions that people have submitted about Macular Society and about the macular condition as well. If we have an opportunity at some point later on in the call, we will be opening up if people have any questions or any queries or any comments that they would like to make. I am aware that we are to be joined today by callers from Shetland, so welcome to you. And on that note, I will hand over to Judy. Thank you very much for being here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Kathy, and I look forward to the time when I can once more join all of the groups locally in the Southwest. I think we've all missed time to get together and share our knowledge and understanding. And just on that note, absolutely, Kathy, you said we know each other very well. Just for the listeners, I work for the Macular Society, as Kathy said, but I'm also a trustee of Devon Insight. And it is a wonderful working relationship because it means less people fall through the gaps of trying to find all the support they need when they have sight loss. Because between us, we're able, with our knowledge, to signpost you to somebody else maybe or answer your questions in a very specific way. So this works really well. So it's why I'm particularly pleased to be here today. So just in case you don't know about the Macular Society, we're a national charity. Indeed, of course, we cover the Isles of Shetland as well. You've had a bit of a change just recently in your support with your regional manager. But we're absolutely delighted that you're joining in on this call, and more of that, I say, which is wonderful. And the Society covers all parts of the UK, so Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, England, all very much active in what we do. And we are a charity, the same as Devon Insight, so we have to work hard to make sure we're still here. And I'm delighted to say that even during this last year, with all that has thrown to us, the Society has been amazingly busy. And I think that's an indication of how important it is to get information out to people with sight loss, and in our case, of course, particularly macular degeneration, and sometimes just to listen. And we know that there are over 1.5 million people living with a macular condition in the UK. That's enormous. It's probably double the people living with dementia. And I bet if you went out and stopped a few people on the road, on pavement, and said, do you know the words, you know, what does dementia mean to you? They'd be able to tell you pretty much what it is. I wonder how many people, if you stop them, will be able to tell you what macular degeneration is. I suspect a few less, which is really scary, because one of the questions I've had submitted before was, you know, why are there so many people living at the moment that have macular degeneration? Well, the simple answer is a clue is in the word. The most common form of macular degeneration is age-related macular degeneration. And of course, we're living so much longer these days. We have fantastically active lives. And whereas in my day, when I was a little girl, the older ladies and gentlemen in my village wouldn't have done an awful lot, and we didn't expect them to do very much. My grandparents would have sat and probably told people what to do. They'd have sat in the house maybe helped a few things, but they certainly wouldn't have been rushing out, picking me up from school in the car, taking me to swimming lessons, drama lessons, whatever. Life has changed. So when people reach post-retirement age, we all expect to have a full and long retirement and to be very active. And when this macular degeneration rears its ugly head, meaning that jumping in the car and driving around isn't quite so easy, and of course, eventually impossible, it really impacts on our life. So the simple answer is we're living much longer lives, so more people are being affected by this thing, whether it is in their 60s or whether they don't develop it into their 90s. Of course, years ago, so few people lived into their 90s. It's not something we believe that you do to yourself. There are things we know that contribute to whether or not you're likely to develop macular degeneration. And sadly, smoking is probably the most important factor. One of the things we always suggest if you are a smoker still and you do develop it, if you can give up, it will potentially slow down the progress. But equally, I hear so many people that have never smoked developing macular degeneration. There are genes, of course, that are associated with it. But sadly, with this most prevalent form, the age-related macular degeneration, there are so many genes involved that even with all of the new gene therapy which is being developed, it's going to be very, very difficult to just switch off, if you like, the rogue gene, because there will be so many that are impacting onto whether or not you develop this thing. So I'm going to work my way through these really very interesting questions, and I don't know who sent them in, Kathy, but they are great basis for me today to do this talk. And the next question I'm going to look at is, can you go completely blind with macular degeneration? And when I say those words, completely blind, I'm sure you're all imagining complete blackness. And the simple, again, answer for if you just have macular degeneration, will I go completely black blind, is no. Because macular degeneration affects the part of the eye, there's a surprise, called the macula, which looks after the central part of your eye. It's a very important part, unfortunately, because it has the highest density of those cells that we hear called the rods and the cones. They have the highest density that gives you the colour in life and the clarity and the detail in sight. But it doesn't affect your peripheral vision, the bit round the edge, the bit that we often use to be very aware of where things are in the world, whether we are going to have somebody, perhaps a car, coming in from our right or left. Those are the things that we use that peripheral vision very much for navigation. And sadly, that part of our sight doesn't have the detail. And so when people get to the end of their journey with macular degeneration, and it's got as bad as it's going to get, it can lead for some people to the central vision being completely lost. So I have people describing it as looking down a dark black tunnel in the middle. There is no sight and no light in the middle. It doesn't mean to say, though, that everybody is going to experience that. And the majority of people will describe it as a dark fog, but they will still get some light coming in and can see shadows and some idea of an impression of what may be in front of them. But sadly, that peripheral part, even though it's not affected, doesn't give you the clarity to be able to read easily and to be able to see detail of people's faces and photographs, all of the things that we know make life so much more exciting. But one of the things we can do is to help you learn a technique that we call skills for seeing. And this is where we work very closely with Devon Insight, because all of the staff members have done the training for Skills for Seeing, which gives each one of you as an individual the best opportunity to use the part of your sight, your peripheral vision, that hasn't been affected. And for some people, that could be quite a large area of sight. Everyone will experience macular degeneration in a slightly different way. They'll describe it to me, as you've heard, in a different way. Some people will have little parts of the sight in front of them that still works quite well, as if somebody's put a shotgun in the middle, and there are little bits that they can still see quite clearly through. Others will describe it as a crescent shape, but there is a bit, that looks like a moon that is more misty. And they learn to use the bit above the moon that is still quite clear. So as anybody has yet to work out for themselves which part of their eye is working still for them, the very simple way of doing this is to imagine that you're looking at a clock and stare perhaps at something in front of you and just see for yourself, if you were to imagine that you were looking at a big clock face, which of the numbers for you are slightly clearer than the others. And then, for example, if you imagine that the bit at the top, perhaps 11, 12 and 1, seem to you, that area of your sight seems to be a bit clearer than 6, maybe 5, maybe 7, around that area at the bottom, then rather than staring at the top, you move your sight to the bit, so you look down at the bit that is less clear. Because what that does is to drag the good bit of your sight more to the central part of your vision. Now, what that means is that if you're trying to look at perhaps a face, you won't be looking directly at people in their eyes. You could be looking over their shoulder. You could be looking at their stomach, perhaps, or a little bit below. The gentleman finds it a bit awkward sometimes when they fear that they're looking at a part of a lady's anatomy they really shouldn't be. We hope that you can get round that. And if you explain to people, usually they're really understanding. But it does take practice. And you have to accept that people may find it a bit odd that you're not actually looking at them face to face, if you like, that you're looking slightly to the right or the left, or the above or below their face. So if anybody's sitting there thinking, oh, I didn't know that, get hold of Kathy or any of the team after this, and they'll be able to talk you through. And if the team at Devon Insight would prefer, the Macular Society also still delivers that training, and now we're doing it largely over the phone. We can quite easily do the first part, which is about, are you using your lighting in the right way? Have you got your right glasses on? You would be amazed how many people still haven't been to the optician. And that's so important at the moment. I know it's scary to go to an optician when we've been told not to go out, to stay safe. But I'd like to reassure everybody that the opticians are working in extremely carefully at the moment. You will be as safe in an optician as you would be in your own home, pretty much. And they can check that your eyes haven't changed during the lockdown and that actually the glasses you're wearing are maximizing the vision you have. And that's the important thing. I learned something the other day, and I learn every single day, and this was the best piece of advice I've had for a long time. Somebody asked, how do I know whether my optician is interested in people living with macular degeneration? Because let's be honest, some are more interested, shall we say, than others. Because it does take extra time to do a good sight test with people with macular degeneration. If an optician is more keen on selling you a pair of glasses than they are you as an individual, and whether you've got the right glasses for your sight with macular degeneration, then it can make a difference. And it's quite difficult. How do we find out? And an optician who is passionate said it's quite simple. Go to your optician and ask system. Does your optometrist or your optician really specialise in people with macular degeneration? Do they understand my needs? And if there's any hesitation at all from the lady at the desk, and he said, it probably means the answer is no. So ask, because if they do, they're usually delighted to tell you. So please, if there's anybody out there today that hasn't had an eye test in the last year, make a booking today, because we must be aware, even though you may have macular degeneration, that of course can change too. I'm just going to take a sip of tea because I've got a bit of a dry throat. So the other questions that I'm going to lump together was, I struggle to see my food on my plate when I'm eating. Do I have any suggestions? And that's a wonderful, wonderful question. And the next one was, I've heard people talk about contrast, but I'm not sure exactly what that means and how it can help. So the two questions are linked. And if we take the first question about seeing food on a plate, if my favourite meal is cod in butter sauce with mashed potato, and I put it on a white plate, I'm not going to have much of a chance of seeing where the potato, the cod, is on my plate, because it will just be a blur. But if I were to put my mashed potato and cod in butter sauce, I have to say I do like it, on a dark blue plate, suddenly it's much easier to see where the edges of the plate are, especially if it's a dark plate on perhaps a white tablecloth, or to keep things easy, let's have it on a white table mat, because that's easier to throw in the washing machine afterwards. And the contrast between the white mat, the dark blue plate, and the white food will make it much easier for you to identify where things are. And if we think about that mashed potato and the white fish, again, that can be difficult. Which is the potato? Which is the fish? But if you were to put a big pile of peas, bright green peas, in the middle, again, that shows you where the change is for that food. So we all need to eat a rainbow. Bright coloured foods, whether it is perhaps the peas, the spinach, the kale, the yellow peppers, the bright red tomatoes, the beetroot, the blueberries, the strawberries, all of those things, the brightly coloured foods are all going to be good for our eyes. Which leads me on to a lovely, the other question that I thought would worth talking about was, should I be taking supplements? The expensive bottles of pills that you see in the chemist. Now, if you're very good and you say to me, well, finding my food on the plate isn't difficult because when I have my strawberries and my blueberries and my raspberries and I'm getting all the antioxidants for those, I put them in a white bowl so I can see them clearly, I would say, well done. And do you eat your spinach and your kale? And they say, yes, not a problem. I put that on a white plate so I can see where that all is as well. Then possibly you may not need to take a supplement. But this is where I'm going to get very honest. There are days when I manage my five a day, and there are other days when I just fancy fish and chips and I eat cake, all beige, and I'm not eating my five a day. Well, if you are able to afford those supplements, and there are ways of getting them at a better price, then, and if particularly you have dry macular degeneration in one eye and have already developed the wet form in the other, there is some evidence to show that if you are taking a supplement that has those things that you find naturally in kale and yellow peppers and all of those lovely things, then it may reduce the chances of you developing wet in the eye that currently has dry by about 17%, which is not bad. That's equating roughly to one in every five people. And I do have people that say to me, I'll take those odds, because they don't want to have the more dramatic form of wet macular degeneration in the eye that currently has dry, which many of you will know takes longer generally to develop to a stage where it impacts largely on your lifestyle. So I would say it's a personal choice, but if you are concerned your diet is not particularly good, and I don't think any of us eat the amount of kale we should do, I think it equates to about a wheelbarrow full in a month, which is a lot of kale to get through, then you may want to consider. And please, if you take most of the supplements, just check with your pharmacist. Take along the list of the other medication you might be on, because there are some supplements that will interact and cause your current medication not to work very well. The one that I'm told has no bad reaction, if you like, for most medication, most things you are taking for other conditions, is MacuShield Gold. So if you're not sure, and if you don't think your pharmacist really understands the reactions of the vitamins to some of the medication you might be on, MacuShield Gold is probably your best bet. So I would say, if you're very good and eating a wonderful diet, you may want to save your pennies. If not, and you're like me, not very good, then you might want to consider giving your sight the best chance. We know that it might slow down the progress of your macular degeneration. And who knows, you may outlive the time when actually it impacts largely on your sight. We talked a little bit about contrast, and I used the example of the food on the plate, but there are other things that you can do around about your house to make life easy. If you have white kitchen cupboards, as many of us do, it can be quite difficult to see perhaps which cupboard is which. And I do have some of my members that use some bright sticky tape. You can get very cheaply the tape that you would normally wrap around wires. I'm sure you all know the sort of thing I mean, that you can get it in bright blue and stripy green and yellow for the inert wire. Actually putting a strip of that on your cupboard door, which won't mark it, it won't damage it in any way, can be a very easy way of identifying which cupboard you're using for various things. So maybe you keep all your tinned goods in one, maybe your glassware is another. And when it is just a run of white, it can be quite difficult to identify which is which. And again, labelling things with bright colours. We often have a bit of a giggle at my groups when people come and say, I think I might have odd socks on today. Couldn't see really what was going on, but who cares? That's what we all say. Set a trend and wear navy blue and black socks together. But there are occasions when you would feel uncomfortable. So labelling clothes, for example, perhaps having brightly coloured hangers in your wardrobe, so that using a routine that you always put your black dresses or trousers, if you're a gentleman, on bright red hangers. And they are easily available now. You need just to ask some friends and family to help you buy them. And it's about doing things regularly. So if you've got a dark wash and you know that you're washing the black trousers that you took off yesterday and you've spilt your coffee on again, because we all know that happens, put them back on a bright red hanger or a colour that you find easiest to see. It is about keeping routines going. There's nothing worse than a helpful friend or relative coming in and having a bit of a tidy up. That can be a nightmare for people, because all those letters that you put to one side because you know that they've got the dates for an appointment on or the times, and you put carefully to one side in a pile, then they come along and put them in the cupboard. Nothing worse. So please ask, you know, your perhaps you have a carer that comes in, or perhaps you have family living with you. Allow them to leave things where you've put them, because that will help no end with daily, day-to-day life. And if they've got to put up with you making your kitchen or your bedroom or the bathroom a little bit more multicoloured and a little bit more psychedelic, perhaps, with bright colours, then they'll have to put up with it. Because if it means you can put your hand onto your shampoo rather than your conditioner, because you put a bright, perhaps a rubber band in a different colour, you can feel it and you can see it, then they can just live with it. It's all about making your life as good as possible again. Macular degeneration and sight loss shouldn't mean that your life has altered that dramatically, because with the support of all the people out there, Devon in Sight, ourselves, organisations like Blind Veterans, the RNIB, Guide Dogs, all of these have different things that they can offer that will make life good again. So please don't give up. And on that one, I want to move to a question that says, is there any research happening currently? And I'm absolutely delighted to be able to tell you just the Macular Society this year is planning to put 1.25 million into new research projects. And that's the most we've ever been able to commit to research. And because we can put some, if you think of it, sort of little pockets of money into small research grants, that will go on to prove that it's worth to do more, we know that it's like a snowball. If we start research going on, but as that little piece of research gains momentum, you know, the early stages are showing that things like, for example, using artificial intelligence to read lots and lots and lots of scans, in particular Moorfields Hospital, are rereading scans from people with macular degeneration, hundreds of thousands of them. Well, we couldn't possibly do that ourselves, but using computers, artificial intelligence, they can reread those scans, which gives them much more information about how macular degeneration is likely to progress. Because they know that these are historic scans, they know the outcome of that person's macular degeneration journey, how quickly they were to develop it, and they can find commonalities amongst people using computers to reread them. They will be able to cross-reference with whether they were a smoker, whether they were very active, whether they had it in the family, whether they were people that engaged with other organisations and knew to go back, if you like, to an optician on an annual basis. All of those things can be put into those queries. And that's really exciting. And we started that off. So in the future, we hope that when people go to their optician and they say, oh, we can see the early stages of macular degeneration, they will then be able to go on and say, but tens of thousands of people had a similar scan to you. And we can predict fairly clearly that you're not likely to have any change, dramatic change to your eyes for, let's say, 6-7 years. So that person then knows that they need to do all the things they wanted to do, perhaps not put things off if they've fancied foreign travel or they want to learn some of the skills that will make life easier in the future. So that's only because we were able to put the early seed corn money in. Well, of course, what most people want to know is there going to be a cure for macular degeneration? And at the moment, although it's on the horizon, it's not going to be available, I would guess, between the next 6 to 10 years, probably on the National Health. We hope I'm wrong. But I think we have to be honest and say that COVID has changed a lot of things. Even people that were doing our research projects, the staff and our volunteers, of course, couldn't actively take part over the past year. We couldn't ask them to come in. But we all have heard about the stem cell projects. Those are gaining momentum. The prospect of moving that gear up, those projects into the second phase, of course, was put off. So it has delayed things. But that is one way. That's restoring stem cells to the back of the eye, those cells which have been killed off, if you like, by macular degeneration. One of the other projects that I think may make a bigger impact is to be able to identify macular degeneration very much earlier. And that's why it's so important for everyone to go to their opticians. And in the future, if they can identify which bit has been affected and there is better treatment, the eye can be treated at the point at which the degeneration was first noticed, but could potentially stop it in its tracks at the point when you probably didn't even know you had it. And that could be most exciting, because if we can stop it progressing with better and better treatment, then fewer people are going to have to live with that severe sight loss. And that would be fantastic. So there's a vast range of research going on, from the impact of losing your sight, to can we have better treatment? Can we replace those awful injections with perhaps a tablet? That would be life-changing. And there's work going on that as well. So the Macular Society in particular is now focusing a lot of our efforts on beating macular degeneration. And by that we mean funding more research, the biggest amount we've ever put into research, and we're delighted that people have joined us on that journey and sent whatever they can afford. Every single penny makes a difference. And we're going to beat it by making sure people can live with it better. And that's why we're delighted to work alongside Devon Insight as well. So there's so much going on. You can take responsibility, of course, for your sight right now. And one of the other questions I had was about using an AMSLA chart. Just in case nobody knows what I'm talking about, it's a grid that it's just black and white lines. It looks a little bit, if you imagine, like a crossword where they're all blank. Nobody's put the black squares in yet. Well, we hope they haven't. And some AMSLA grids will have a black dot in the middle. And the way to check for yourself that your sight hasn't changed since the last time you looked at that chart is firstly to get to know what is normal for you. So when you first look at that chart, you use each eye individually. So put your hand over one eye, hold the chart steady, about 30 centimeters, about a ruler away from your eye. Don't use varifocals if you can avoid it, because they will make those lines a bit wibbly wobbly where the lenses change anyway. Just use a pair of cheap reading glasses and decide what's normal for you. Now, you might find that some of the lines are a bit wobbly, or some of that chart looks a bit blurry. Somebody's put a dirty thumbprint on it, maybe. Or some of it may completely disappear. But if that's normal for you, you know how your sight is at that point in time. And then use your chart on a regular basis, whether it's monthly, bi-monthly, whatever you feel comfortable with. Some people do it daily. It's entirely up to you. And repeat the process. So it's the same if you look at that chart and it's exactly the same as it was the last time you looked at it. You have nothing to worry about. Your macular degeneration isn't changing. If there is progress, it's very slight and you can't notice it. But if one day you look at it and there is a great change, so maybe those lines that were a little bit wibbly wobbly are dramatically wobbly. They look as if somebody has pushed them to one side. Or there is a real change and you can't see part of that chart where you could see it before, then you treat it as a 999. You do not wait. You get straight on to either your optician, if he's really good and they should refer you straight away to your eye clinic, or if you're already being treated at the eye clinic, call them that day. Any delay to treating any change into macular degeneration potentially will mean that they cannot stop that progress as quick as they would if you get in and see them. So it's really important. And remember, if you only have dry macular degeneration, there is a chance that you can develop wet as well in the dry eye. So it's so important that you take responsibility more often than going to your optician on an annual basis to use your Ambla grid to make sure that there is no real change to your sight and to your macular degeneration. And the good news is, we are working with a company in Bristol who are developing a little app, a game that you can download for free on a smartphone, a phone with a screen, not knobs, not buttons, and that you can play the game as often as you like, and the results from playing that game will go straight back to your eye care professional, or at the moment, because it's still in development, to the company, and they will be able to see whether you're playing as well as you did the last time. So it's like using an Ambla grid, but it will capture a lot more information and feed that information straight back to an eye care professional eventually, which means that they can detect, probably quicker than you can, any change in your sight. And we know it works, which is really exciting. A gentleman who's on the development panel, if you like, and playing the game, had had an injection. And when he played the game, about 3 or 4 days later, the company detected that he was much quicker to react to some of the parts of the game. He had no idea himself that that injection had made a difference. They rang him and said, "Oh, we've noticed that you seem to be playing really well in the last few days." And he said, "Oh, do I? Well, I don't know, really." And they said, "Have you done anything in the last 3 days?" And he said, "Oh, yes, that's funny. I had my injection." And his consultant was absolutely ecstatic because he said it was the very first time he had concrete evidence that having an injection actually makes a difference to sight. Even though it was so subtle, the man himself hadn't realized. But certainly it had increased his reaction time to things on the edge of his sight. So another good example of why, you know, we are really keen to try and support research into all sorts of different things. So I think I have covered all of the questions that I had. And I don't know, Kathy, how we're doing for time, whether you're able to unmute everybody.
Yeah, we're doing okay. The only thing I would add, although it's so exciting to hear about kind of like, you know, kidney development and the way that things are changing in such a positive way, it's important that people also kind of, you know, one of the things that I hear very, very regularly from people that I have contact with is how they feel about their sight loss, in particular point of diagnosis, you know, that it can be devastating, frightening, and the support that's available for people from the Macular Society, also with kind of new treatments, people who are facing injection for the first time, the support that's available from the Macular Society for that as well. It could be a very frightening thought. So just so that people are aware that there's that side of services as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kathy.
Including counselling. Yeah.
That's a very, very good point. And we haven't really covered, as you say, I've used the questions to guide my talk today, but perhaps if there are more questions. I think what Kathy's saying is also emphasises why it's so important to make contact with just somebody. It doesn't matter whether you ring us if you get that diagnosis or whether you ring Devon Insight, because it's an entrance, if you like, into a world of support for macular degeneration and any sight loss issue. I always describe it that when you get told that you have any sight loss condition, perhaps particularly if you're at an age where you think you perhaps can sit back a bit now and you know what you need to know in life and you don't really need to know anymore, you're suddenly rocketed into a whole new world. And everybody with sight loss has, if you like, a picture to create. And if you imagine it like a jigsaw puzzle, everybody's jigsaw puzzle is going to be a little bit different. And you need, unfortunately, to find the pieces of that puzzle that you need to create the picture again. And it may well be that if you were in the armed forces, for example, you need the bit of the jigsaw puzzle that is the Blind Veterans Association. Or if you are particularly keen on walking still, you need to know, where's the bit of the puzzle that will allow me to continue my passion for walking and exploring the countryside, or art, or music, or you're finding it difficult to read, perhaps your correspondence that's coming through. You need the bit of the jigsaw puzzle that's going to give you that information. So we can all do that together. But Kathy's so right. It's the biggest struggle we all face, is that at the time that you're told you have any sight loss condition, sadly, very rarely do you get given the direction to speak to any of us. Whether it's an optician or a consultant, they are often there with a very different thought process. They're thinking, can I make this better? Can I medically improve this? Or can I get them some glasses that will make this condition better? And they don't always think, how is this going to impact on this person's life? What can I do to help all of the other things that they are going to need to learn? So we can't, you know, we know that their time is precious. And I wish that when you were all told you had macular degeneration, somebody put a card in your hand that you could take home that said, this is your local blind association, wherever that is. This is the Macular Society's helpline. Give them a call. But sadly, very, very few actually get that support. And if anybody, here's the advert, if anybody wants to speak to Macular Society, the easiest way to contact us, because it's a nice, easy number to remember, is our advice and information line. And that's 0300 30 30 111, and Kathy has that number, so you can always contact Kathy for it, or indeed contact the Mac, you know, just if Kathy will give you the way of contacting me, and some of you may already have my contact details. So are we unmuted, Kathy?
Not yet, but we can open up the calls now. If Tracy and Louise could do that for me, would be fantastic.
Excellent. If there is anybody that has a question or a comment, wants to challenge anything we've said, because we love to have a discussion, that would be lovely. I think we're getting a few people now. I can hear the line has changed. I apologise if anybody heard my doorbell ring then. I live in an apartment, and they all know I work from home, so the deliveries tend to press my bell rather than anybody else's, whether or not it's being delivered for me, and it is rather loud. So I apologise if anybody heard that in the background a moment ago.
No,
have we got anybody joined? Oh, good. Anybody else joined us yet? No, not quite. I think the girls are doing their best to unmute everybody quite quickly. I hope everybody's enjoying the sunshine as we are down here in the southwest.
It is glorious.
Isn't it lovely? I wonder what it's like. I do hope we might unmute a few of the Shetland Islands. It'd be lovely to know, because I think Scotland hasn't got quite the lovely weather we've got down here in the south today.
I think it's what's called a Shetland grey day.
Oh,
well, we've not got much wind, and that's what we really judge by.
Just settling, yeah. Well, that's why you have wonderful green grass, though. So
that's right.
It's, there are some positive points, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
That's lovely. So which of the Shetland Islands do you live on?
We're on mainland.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Which is the biggest.
Yeah. And do you belong to the Maculad group up there?
I'm actually the group leader.
Wonderful.
And my husband's the treasurer.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, it's a family affair. That's lovely. Well, it's wonderful. I'm over the moon that you've joined us. It's just lovely. I think the more we can share knowledge from around the UK, the better. Because I'm very aware that Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland do things in a different way to England. And actually we can learn from the best bits from all of us, can't we?
Yeah, that's true.
Did it prompt any questions?
Well, it did from me. This is Peter, the husband, speaking.
Hello, Peter.
Well, it's not. It's partly a question, and it's partly a restatement of some things you've said.
Yeah.
I always say to people, one of the biggest problems is just knowing what is out there. What are all these digital aids, and where can you find them? Mm. Which is exactly what you've been saying.
Mm.
And the other thing is about how do we get the information out into the population who haven't got macular degeneration, but that they're aware of it in the same way as they are aware of cancer, and there are all sorts of cancer forms, and I don't know what the answer is. We gave a little presentation to our local community council, and I would say there wasn't anybody under 40 at that meeting, and none of them had a clue about it.
No. It's scary, isn't it?
Absolutely,
Peter, you're so right, because everybody knows the words dementia and Alzheimer's, and yet only half of the number will, you know, than there are living with macular degeneration. And the real fear is there are a lot of 56-year-olds who have not a clue that they are at risk, and sadly don't go to the optician every year, and may go on to develop it to quite a high level before they're even aware they've got it, because if it's only in one eye, the brain will take over, and the other eye will take over seeing the bit that the one with macular degeneration can't.
Yeah.
It's a massive problem. And Peter, if you ever manage to solve that, will you let me know? Because
and me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do quite a bit of work about connecting with communities and organisations around sight loss awareness.
Yeah.
And I have done some events with Judy and the Macular Society, as well as other organisations, including some when we come out of COVID. I will be doing some partnership work with the National Trust down here to do sight loss awareness as well, because it is important that you know, we get particularly the message about people having their sights tested regularly, so that
absolutely.
They really get the optician.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think people should be made more aware of Charles Bonnet disease. I know it has been mentioned on this sort of program, but I find that even medical staff, nurses and doctors, have never heard of Charles Bonnet, and even, I think, a lot of people with macula won't have heard of it.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't know who that's wonderful. And some of you may have seen Coronation Street recently, which featured Charles Bonnet's storyline. And that was probably the best way of us getting that message out there that we could ever have asked for. And Peter, if we could find somebody very, very high profile that developed macular degeneration, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but if it's going to have to happen, could we have it to somebody that is very, very well known, because if they were strong enough to tell their story, gosh, this is going to cause me a bit of a hassle. I've got this thing called macular degeneration, and then starts to talk about Charles Bonnet as well. That would be the best way of making this well known. Just to make sure everybody understands what Charles Bonnet is, it's seeing visual hallucinations. It is a natural side effect, unfortunately, of losing central vision. Not everybody will experience it, but basically the brain tries to fill in the gap. And sometimes those images, which are clear, are colourful usually, can be quite scary too. We've had lots of people say, I think I must be losing my marbles because I see a man sitting on the end of my bed, for example. That's really scary if you live alone and you see suddenly someone sitting on your bed. We don't really understand why those images are as they are. Some people report that they're very lovely images, so it's not always a bad thing. I have one lady who says she doesn't want it to stop because she sees flowers, beautiful flowers growing up her wall. But I think you're absolutely right. If we could make sure that people know that seeing these unexpected images where you know that you couldn't previously see anything is just a side effect of losing that vision, and it has a posh name, Charles Bonnet, it would make people feel a lot more comfortable. So thank you for that question. That was great.
Yeah. We had Judith Potts, who is, she formed the organisation Esme's Umbrella, which is supporting Coronation Street with their Charles Bonnet storyline, which is absolutely fantastic. And she came and spoke about Charles Bonnet on one of our earlier calls. Also with us, we have our own sight loss needs assessment, which we call our sight loss MOT, which is a really, really holistic assessment of need for people with sight loss. But part of that also is to talk about Charles Bonnet and just check that people aren't experiencing those visual hallucinations. And if they are, to actually signpost them to the right support, but also to make people aware as well that there is a condition. And we work with lots of other kind of health organisations just to highlight the fact that Charles Bonnet exists. I have worked with adult care services, particularly with kind of older people's mental health assessments, to make sure that they are aware that some of the behaviours that somebody might be displaying may not be what they are thinking, or that they need to actually put that into the mix of their assessment as well. It's really important.
That's great. Well said, Cathy. That's really good. And I'd just like to reiterate that you're very lucky in Devon, because the MOT is the way of getting that picture back in your life, putting all the bits of the jigsaw puzzle back. And all the staff at Devon Insight will help you find the bits of your jigsaw puzzle so that you'll be able to create your picture very quickly. Other areas, it's a little bit more hit and miss. And I haven't a clue how that works in Scotland. So it would be very interesting to know whether in the Shetland Islands you get that support to have those conversations about every aspect of living with sight loss. So it isn't just about can you see, it's about can you still do all the things that you are passionate about? Can you travel around? Are you confident to cook? Have you got the right finances and support in place? All of those things that Devon Insight, through that MOT, will naturally talk to you about. And it's a wonderful tool. And I've been just delighted to hear more and more sight loss charities, certainly in England, picking that concept up. Devon Insight does some training with them and run with it, because it means that more people are getting, as you said, people getting that information that they need as an individual. For them personally, what bits of information do they need? Not being bombarded by stuff that really isn't relevant to their own lifestyle. So it's really important. And I think, Kathy, one of the other things to say is don't forget lives change as well. So don't be afraid to ring Devon Insight if your circumstances or your aspirations change. We had a lovely lady talking on one of my calls the other day who runs a new business and providing weekends away for people with sight loss, particularly those living on their own, who enjoy walking, who enjoy staying at very nice locations, hotels, on the Malvern Hills, who actually don't want to be treated as second-class citizens, who want to have a fabulous weekend away, enjoy being able to experience being outside safely and securely with a sighted guide, have a lovely chat with lots of new people, lots of new friends. And she's also running a wellness weekend. And I know there's lots of people very interested in that because actually Kathy touched on it and so did we talked about Charles Bonnet. The stress that people are under, particularly at the moment, with living in lockdown, although we're coming out of it now, and sight loss is enormous. And I think you all deserve a pat on the back if you've got through this year, to be honest. It's been bad enough if you could see clearly, but not being able to see. So actually, don't forget, you all need to be kind to yourselves. Remember, you're not supposed to be superhuman. You have the right to find things stressful. And if you would like sort of to have a little bit of extra support, Devon Insight can offer that, Macular Society can offer that, to make sure that your mental well-being is as good as it can be as well at the moment. And if that means going and having reflexology, perhaps going and having a massage as we open up, having your hair done, having, you know, your nails done again, and having a podiatrist coming in and making you feel good, that's all part of living well with sight loss. And I think sometimes we forget that. Are there any more questions? No, we've shut them all up, Kathy. I will let you, and because I know that you keep this to an hour, is that correct?
We do, yeah.
Right,
absolutely.
So I will leave it to you. I'll pass back to you, Kathy, to wrap up the meeting.
Okay. Judy, thank you so much. That was really, really informative. I will give my number out so that if you have any other questions, anything that you want to find out further from today's talk, I have all the relevant numbers and contacts for obviously our services, but also the Macular Society and Judy's area within the Southwest in particular. Thank you everybody for joining us today. Thank you, Judy, for taking the time. I know how incredibly busy you are.
Oh, Kathy, it was an absolute pleasure. Particularly, it's been lovely to say hello to the Shetlands.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? One day.
Yes. One day. Yes. One day soon.
Yes,
okay, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always kind of like lovely to know that we're still able to reach out to people. For those that don't already have it, my number is 01392878800. Sorry, that's Devon Insight's inquiries number. So any more information or any questions that you may have, please, please contact that number. Just to let you know that next week's call, our speaker will be, I've lost my note. Polly, help me.
Right, next week it's Natalie Moore, who's head of library.
Sorry.
Hello, it's Natalie Moore from Calibre Library next week.
Ooh, wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I might have to sneak in on that one as well. If anybody hasn't heard from Calibre, a fantastic organisation.
Yes, Super. Just for people that aren't aware, Calibre services are for audiobooks. Yes, it was Natalie's second name I couldn't remember there, so I had a little bit of a panic. Thank you, Louise. Hope you all stay well, and hopefully catch up for you with you next week. And at that point now, we shall wrap up.
Goodbye, everybody. Lovely.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.